So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Welcome to the Mindset and Hustle Show. My name's Dan Latto. It's a Monday. It's a Tuesday. I don't know what day it is. It's the 18th of January, 2022. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And if you're listening to the podcast, thank you for being a podcast subscriber. We really appreciate that. We're getting thousands of downloads every week on our podcast. And so thank you to each and every one of you who's listening to that. It means a lot to me. And the more people listen, the more we do, because it's clear that people want this kind of content. Anyway, in today's session, going to talk about four different things. The first thing we're going to talk about is Blue Monday, which was yesterday, which is basically the most depressing day of the year, apparently. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about budgeting, and we're going to talk about mood control through budgeting, which is a big aspect of my life and something I want to share again with you. We're also going to talk about this time next year, and as you look back at now, what would you like to have achieved? So we'll cover that. And then also, finally, we're going to talk about planning your life after this season ends, this lockdown season, the 3 years of COVID that we've had. This season's going to end, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and about what you should be planning after that, and so on and so forth. So let's kick off with Blue Monday. So first of all, what is Blue Monday? So apparently, like, I did a very minor amount of research on this last night. I tend not to like doing research. I just like to go straight into it because my thoughts are already fixed and fairly unfixable, fairly unmovable these days. But Blue Monday apparently is the most depressing day of the year. And you know what's most depressing about the most depressing day of the year? Is that some idiot just made this up and said, oh, third week, is it the third Monday in the start of the year? Yeah, the third Monday of the start of the year, that's the most depressing day of the year. I've decided, I'm a scientist, that's the most depressing day of the year. Now, I don't know why he thinks that's the most depressing day. Maybe it's credit card bills. Maybe it's when you get, you know, your credit card bill coming through. Maybe it's when the divorce comes through. Like, I have no idea. When we used to run the lettings agency, one of the big things we'd used to get, like 1st, 2nd of January, is a guy turning up with two black bags with all his belongings because he's been thrown out, you know, 2 weeks at home with the wife and kids. It's kind of struggled with that. And so I get why that might be depressing for people. But why is it the third Monday? It was the 17th of January yesterday. Why does it take 17 days to get to that point? I don't know why. But the most depressing thing for me about Blue Monday, the most depressing thing about the most depressing day of the year, is that I keep wanting to call him a twat. So some twat comes along and says, oh, that's the most depressing day of the year. So people see that and the newspapers pick up on it and they go, oh, yes, I need to be depressed today because this is the most depressing day of the year. That means that my depression, and it might not be depression. If you felt depression, you know what depression feels like. Other people feel depression. They're just having a shit time, right? It's not like they've actually got depression. It's that the car's been repossessed. The husband or wife has left them. The dog's gone and moved out because he no longer likes you. That's not depression. That's just your life's not going, you know, to the right plan that you want it to. Depression is a medical condition where you've got chemical imbalances. And what most people say is depression isn't actually depression. It's just that your life is shit. And I just want to get that clarity between the two. It's quite a controversial statement, obviously. And, you know, we don't mind being controversial. But what annoys me is that some guy comes along and says, oh, it's the most depressing day of the year. It's a wonderful excuse now. People are totally depressed. Now, I would ask the question, does Blue Monday actually even exist? First of all, it sounds like a sale. I know that's Black Friday, but it sounds like, oh, I have a sale's on. I got all excited. I'm like, brilliant, some sales, Blue Monday. Yeah, 20% off. And it turns out everyone's just supposed to be depressed. But I would question whether it even exists. Just because one scientist somewhere said, oh, everyone's depressed on this third Monday of the year. Like, why? Like, where's the science to prove any of that? I think it's bullshit, quite frankly. I don't think it exists at all, but I think it's a convenient excuse for people to feel bad. And I, you know, I dislike labels. I hate labels. Oh, that person's poor. Oh, that person's rich. That person's wealthy. That person's depression. Why are we putting people in boxes so that they can aspire to be rich or poor or wealthy or depressed? The person just is. And I don't like labels. That child is naughty. No. The child is not naughty. The behaviour was inappropriate. There's a big difference between a naughty child and inappropriate behaviour where the behaviour just hasn't been learned correctly. That's not the child that's naughty, that's the parent to blame. Why can we not see things for actually how they are, instead of just labelling everything? So I'm not a big lover in labels. But look, we've got labels, so how about we use them? So how about we change the label of Blue Monday from the most depressing day of the year to the most optimistic day of the year? Because you've started your year, you're 3 weeks in, you've got rid of New Year and Christmas, and you're kind of settling down, you've done all your budgeting, you've done all your plans and goals. Now, third week in, it's time to knuckle down and get the work done. How about we call Blue Monday the most optimistic day of the year? It's the day when you should have all of your goals set, all of your budgets are in place, your plan is in place, you've informed the team. If you've not got a team yet, get yourself a team. Different people do different things. Even if your team is just your cleaner who's doing your cleaning and your ironing for you, if you've not got that, by the way, that is a life changer. Nobody should be cleaning or ironing for themselves. Even if you're a cleaner and an ironer, you should be paying somebody else to free up that time to spend with the kids and the family or build the business or whatever. Because your time should be worth more than that. That's my belief. But I don't like these labels. But since we've got labels, how about we just make Blue Monday the most optimistic day of the year? And if you start with, oh, fabulous. Blue Monday. I love Blue Mondays. It means that all my goals are in place. All my budgets are in place. I can look forward to the future. And I can see what's going on in the future. And I know what my tasks are, I know what my job is, I know what the strategy is. Let's make it work. Let's make 2022 or whatever the year is going to be, let's make that the most amazing year of my life. So how about we change that? And I think that's a really good way of doing it. I don't know what you guys think about Blue Monday. I just read it yesterday and it kind of pissed me off a little bit. Because it's like yet another thing to label negative. And it's like, do we not have enough of that? Like, we're in COVID pandemic. Like, I don't know where we are. Are we at the start still? I don't know. 10 years from now, are we still wearing masks? I don't know. I don't know how far we're into this pandemic. We might be halfway through. Maybe we're at the 99% and we're just waiting for this last little bit, hopefully. But why are we creating more stuff with negative connotations so that people can go, oh, yeah, Blue Monday, let's be depressed. That's just not my cup of tea, quite frankly. So let's talk about how you can have a better year. And one of the ways in which you can have a better year, a better month, a better week is by relabeling some of these negative things that the press put out. And just remember that the press is there to sell newspapers and clicks. They're not there to educate you, to make you feel better. In fact, if you look at the news, it's pretty horrendous stuff. Like, I mean, anything with the Tories right now is pretty horrendous every single day, isn't it? Let's face it. There's always some new thing coming out. And I saw someone on Twitter and I'm like, they're just so depressed. And I'm like, just switch it off. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, just switch off the news. Who cares about Boris's parties? I mean, we care, obviously, because he shouldn't have done it. But, like, it makes no difference in my world. I don't care if Nadine Doris does whatever it is that she does, or Liz Truss, or Boris, or Rishi, or they're all wankers. Like, just go do whatever you want to do. It's nothing to do with me. I'm focused on my strategies and building my business and my wealth. And for the next 12 months, that's my focus. Rishi, you go do what the hell you need to do, mate. Dominic Cummings, I don't care what you do. You just go do what you need to do. It's irrelevant to me. But it should be about you relabeling some of these negative connotations that we have and get your eyes off the news, goddammit. Okay, let's talk about budgeting. One of the other things that you can do if you want a better week, month or year is that you can actually, or you should be actually creating a budget for every single month. So if I'm going to pull up my budget, and obviously you guys can't see this, but I can see it. Okay. And so I've got a 12 month budget here. So it goes from January and obviously we're halfway through. It's the 18th. So I keep a running total of how much money is going to be left in the bank account at the end of each month, or estimated. It's never quite accurate because, you know, something pops up, something comes in that I wasn't expecting, but we've got a budget on everything. Like, I'll give you some examples. So our cryptocurrency that we buy every Saturday is budgeted on here. We buy XRP, Ethereum, Cardano, Shiba Inu, Doge and Bitcoin. And then we've also got an ISA that we're putting money towards. All our gas bills are in there, personal expenses, petrol, Yorkshire Water, the electricity bills, the cleaner, the pool cleaner is in here. We've got a budget for that. I know it's a first world problem. Our office in Leeds, we've got a budget for that. Service charges. I mean, we've got budgets for absolutely everything. And so any potential expense that I imagine will come out is allocated in this budget. So I know now, for example, in August, what is August supposed to look like? What's the budget going to look like? Can we increase some budgets? So we've got our annual holiday, for example, so it's the same price up to May. So we allocate money into a holiday budget. So every year we get one or two or three holidays, depending on, you know, obviously lockdown, it depends on, in the last couple of years. But the whole point of a holiday budget is that we should be increasing it. So we got a certain amount. I'm not going to go into amounts, by the way, because it's always a percentage of income and so on. And it's different for everybody. And also it depends on how important the holidays are for you. Some people it's more, some people it's less and so on. So it's a personal thing. So that's why I'm not going into numbers. And everything's relative. If I said £100 a month or £1,000 a month, it's all relative to where you are. Some people think £1,000 a month is too low, and other people are going, oh my goodness me, I wish I had £1,000 a month, you know? So that's why we don't go into numbers. But anyway, you know, by the end of May, we increase it in June, and then we increase it again in July, and then we stay at a higher amount all the way through. Because as we go through the year, our income is changing. As we're making more investments and we're getting better returns on investments, as we're paying stuff down, mortgages and so on, that changes our income. Like, can things change? Absolutely. Can mortgage interest rates change? Absolutely. As soon as they change, we go in, we change all the budgets. It moves everything for the next 12 months. So we can still see in October, where are we? Financially, where are we? So there's no shocks and no surprises. That's not to say when a boiler blows up, that's not a shock and a surprise. I mean, it's not a shock because it's not that it's going to blow up, but it's going to fail, right? So we've got a budget for that. It's in our property maintenance budget. Everything's budgeted. So if we have two or three boilers, and also we got a deal with a local plumber so that we put in, you know, £500 down, then a couple of £100 a month for the next few months. So we've actually got plans of attack in case that actually happens. But as I look at this forecast, and I can see what money's going where and what savings are going where and how much money we're going to have left at the end of each month, I can move money around. And this helps me with my mood. So, you know, if I'm feeling down, I can go into this spreadsheet. Like, this is a resource to stop me feeling down. And you should have this as well. Now, you might have a spreadsheet, and when you do the spreadsheet, you're like, oh my goodness me, I didn't realise it was that bad. And I guarantee the first time you do a spreadsheet, that's exactly what it's going to look like. You'll be like, oh my goodness me, I didn't realise it was so bad. So that's fine. That's par of the course. Imagine if you never did your spreadsheet because you were scared of what it's going to look like. Do your spreadsheet. Because then the first few months are really bad. And then when you get a hold on things, then you can start to manipulate where the money's going to go. Because it's not about how much money you earn. It's about what you do with the money that you've got. It doesn't matter if you're earning £1,000 a month or £10,000 a month. Until you get to manage money properly, you won't get more money. If you can't manage the £1,000 a month you've got, how are you going to manage £100,000 a month or £1 million a month? It's going to blow the damn thing. In fact, you're going to have a bigger problem if you're earning £1 million a month and you've not learned how yet to budget and utilise that money than if you're just doing £1,000. Because I can get myself into a lot more trouble with £1 million a month than I can £1,000 a month. And so the budget really should be there to help you feel better about what it is that you're feeling right now. Now, you should have a number of resources on hand so that when you wake up this morning and go, oh, Blue Monday, I feel so depressed, you go, okay, what resources have I got so I don't have to feel depressed? One of the resources I've got is I look at the spreadsheet and I go, do you know what? We've got enough saved up in the holiday. Let's go to Thailand. Let's go to Paris Disney. Let's drive to Italy, which I think is what we're going to probably do this summer because we don't know what's happening with COVID, right? We're supposed to do a house swap with a friend of ours in LA. And I don't think that's going to happen, sadly. So next year, we'll do a house swap. They come over to ours for a month. We go live in LA for a month. I mean, how cool is that? I've actually stayed at their house before. And there's dolphins in the bay, just in Los Angeles. It's amazing. But you should have a number of resources. So that if you're like, oh, I'm feeling a bit down today, what can you do instantly? And then second of all, what can you do or what can you plan ahead? Like, can you go whitewater rafting today? Can you go play basketball today? Can you go go-karting today? Is there something that you can go do to meet other people, like networking events? And you should have a list of resources so that when you're feeling down, you should be able to pull on those resources and it makes you feel better. For me, my budget, as weird as that sounds, is one of those. Now, I've had this budget for 12 years. I can go back, to 2010. For example, I know that my rental rates have increased 46% since 2010. Call it 50% and call it 10 years, just for ease of numbers. So, like, now I'm like, okay, so in another 10 years, imagine it's gone up another 50%. And 10 years after that, I mean, I'll be in my 70, I'll be just turning 70 then. But I know that when I turn 70, financially, this is 20 years in the future. And I haven't got a budget for 20 years in the future. My budgets take me up to 12 months, but I'd really advise 18 months. We'd run an 18-month budget for a client of mine for his business, and it was mind-blowing. You know, it's depressing at first, and then it gets much, much better the further down the path you go, as long as everything works out. But for me, I use my budget as a resource to help me control my mood either that day, that week, that month, that year. And it allows me then to plan ahead. And planning ahead changes things dramatically, because as humans, we are monthly beings. And what I mean by that is that generally, let me just go back to my budget, because this demonstrates it really well. I know you can't, guys can't see this, but I look at this month, and then I look at next month, and then I look at the month after. And because we're monthly beings, you pay your Netflix subscription monthly, your gym membership, you probably get paid monthly. I get paid monthly from rents and from the digital marketing clients. They all pay monthly. So we are monthly beings. We're always waiting for the next payday, for the next income stream to come in. And then our month resets, doesn't it? And then we can live again, it feels like. And actually, that's one of the reasons I got into property is, you know, one of my very first goals was to have 31 properties so that I got paid every single day of the month. First, it was, seven, because there's 7 days in a week. But it's not like I got paid every day of the week, you know, it's 30 days in a month. But once we hit 31 properties, that enabled me just to sit back a little bit and kind of relax a little bit, because now I got paid every single day. So I don't have to wait till the end of the month in order to get more money coming through. But generally, we are monthly beings. And most people just live a month in advance. And I'm like, when do you plan? Well, I'm planning next week. And they basically plan up to the next payday. And it never kind of made sense to me. Why are you not planning month two, month three, month four? Well, I don't know what will happen then. But you got a job. Do you not know how much money you're going to earn if you got a job? $2,000 a month, every month for the rest of your life, I'm sure. Yeah, but I might have an unexpected cost. What unexpected cost will you be having? Well, I don't know. It's unexpected. I won't know. Why don't you have a think about it? What unexpected cost could it be? Well, my car goes. Okay, how much is that? £600. Okay, so maybe you need an emergency fund of £600 or a credit card with £600 on it and a method of paying that off. Or how about you put £50 a month away every single month for the next 12 months? Now you've got £600 saved in a spare account just sat there just in case your car decides to fail that time. What else might go wrong? Well, my boiler might blow up. Okay, how much is that? £100 a month? Okay, move £100 a month or even £50 a month into that. So, you know, how long do boilers last? Like 5 years. We know boilers are lasting 5 years, okay? So is that £30 a month? What is it? Let's do the maths. 1,500 divided by 60 months is £25 a month. Move £25 a month into a boiler account. Just move it over, move it to one side. If your boiler lasts for 12 years, awesome. You can upgrade your boiler the next time it needs doing. Or you can upgrade your boiler and some windows or a front door or get some new carpet or whatever it happens to be. But you should be allocating this budget, not just for the next month, but literally for the next 12 months. You should be planning all of this in advance. Okay, let's talk about this time next year. So what I'd like you to do, and this is an unusual one, so we never really do this. We do this with clients sometimes, but I just want you to close your eyes for a second. Get those eyes closed. And obviously, don't do this if you're driving. For goodness sake, like the fact I need to say this is ridiculous. But anyway, don't do this if you're driving. If you're just sat at home and you're on a tube and you're listening to this, just close your eyes for a second. And just move yourself forward 12 months from now. It's now 18th of January, 2023. Move forward in your mind 12 months from now. And as you're 12 months from now, just look back at now and just look at what you have achieved. Not what you could have achieved, because you're already there. It's 2023, January 18, 2023. Just take a look now at what you've achieved. What would it look like? What have you accomplished? What have you succeeded in? What kind of a year have you had? And what words will you be telling yourself about the year that you've just had 12 months from now? And more importantly, what will other people be saying to you? Will they be questioning, wow, that's amazing. How have you done that? How did you do that? That's amazing. Can you show me how to do that? Is there a way that I can do something similar? And what will you be saying to yourself? And how will it make you feel? Because planning this, and you can open your eyes now if you're doing that, planning this year and getting to the end of this year and looking back at the year you've just had is like looking at a memory that hasn't happened yet. You're looking forward in time, and yet you're in 12 months away from now looking back at the year you've just had. You're actually looking back at a memory that you haven't yet created. And when you do this thing, this is why the goal setting thing works so well. When you do this thing, what you're doing is you're creating tension between where you want to be and where you are now. And it's like an elastic band that goes around this. And where you want to be is pulling where you are right now. It's pulling it towards it. The elastic band is putting pressure and pushing you towards where you want to be. That's why we goal set. And what we've done just there, when you're talking to yourself, that's self-talk. And when you're imagining other people saying to you, that's amazing, how have you done that? You're imagining the sounds that people are saying. You're imagining, what did it look like? What's it making you feel like? And that's creating this future event right here. And it's putting tension and pressure, and it's pulling you towards that future event. This is all pretty basic NLP stuff that you learn, you know, lesson one NLP, right? If you've not done that, I highly suggest that you do it. But this is how I've planned my life. And this is one of the big things that I'm missing right now, because it's really hard to NLP yourself. And one of the things I'm really missing right now is going on a weekend event like Breakthrough to Success with Chris Howard. Chris Howard's my NLP trainer. Going to one of those events and having eyes closed and imagining and doing goal setting and writing all that stuff down, imagining what a year from now is going to be like. And people go, yeah, but I don't know what it's going to be like. Well, what if it goes wrong? What if it goes right? What if everything you've ever imagined, and you imagine properly using focused goal setting, what if all of that comes true? And I've got to tell you, folks, that in my last 10 years of doing NLP, everything I've written down has more or less come true. From relationships to finances to living on the beach in Spain. Later on this morning, I'm taking the dogs down to the beach, up to the Mediterranean beach. That wasn't a thing that I woke up one day and went, oh, I'm just going to live in the Med. I had to goal set it. I had to plan it. I had to budget it. I had to use my mental capacity not to get depressed when things didn't work. I had to do all of that stuff in order to make sure that I got the life that I actually wanted. You don't just wake up one day and life just magically pans out. I wish life was like that, but it's not like that. You've got a goal set. You've got a plan. You've got a budget so that this thing 12 months from now that you want to achieve has become a reality, because you've clearly defined what this thing is. Let's say it's buying a Ferrari 430. Okay. Secondhand Ferrari, 100 grand. Ferrari 430, that's what you want. How are you going to do it? What does the leather smell like? What does it feel like when you're touching the leather? What will your friends say to you when you turn up in that bright red Ferrari, if that's your thing? What will you say to yourself with the hood down and you're driving along through a tunnel and you're through the tunnel? I had a Porsche 911, which is beautiful, beautiful car, and the best times with night times in winter when the stars are out and the heaters are on full blast and people are looking at you because they think you're a twat because you've got the hood down on a Porsche in winter. Best time. The stars are out. It's crisp night and you go in a tunnel through Leeds, through the dual carriageway, and the noise that that car makes as you're going through that, it's amazing. That feeling, if you could bottle it up, you could sell it for thousands of pounds an ounce, right? It would be a fabulous new drug. But that was a goal that was envisioned. I didn't just wake up one day and buy that car. I had to work my butt off in order to get there. And I planned it and I goal set it. And all of these things that we talk about in all of these sessions all got me to that point. The budgeting, the positive mindset, reframing negative days like Blue Monday into something more positive. All of that thing is there and designed to help me move forward. And one of the things I'm dreadfully missing right now because of COVID, are these events where I go and the happy clappy and the goal setting, and it enables you to get out of your current environment into a different environment, not an environment that you live in all the time. You can't go to Tony Robbins, UP, Unleash the Power Within, and live at that level 24/7. It's just not possible. I don't think it's possible, having done quite well over the last 10, 12 years, especially with an NLP mindset. I don't think it's possible to live at that point. But stepping out of my normal world and going into that and going, yes, and getting that belief again and going, yes, I can do this, and doing the goal setting, and then going to Chris Howard's Breakthrough to Success. I miss them dreadfully. And so this is some of the stuff that you also need. You got to look at, where do you want to be 12 months from now? You know, this is the Mindset and Hustle Show, and this is what we're talking about. It's the mindset, the aspects that will absolutely, fundamentally shift the level at which you're playing this game at. If you think you just wake up and do the work and that's what makes you successful, you're going to be sadly disappointed. The goal setting aspect, where do you want to be 12 months from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now? And as you look back at all the things that you needed to do in order to make that happen, that's where you need to be. And with that, let's talk about planning your life after this season ends. Because at some point, folks, this COVID thing that we find ourselves in, that's going to change. We're going to forget about it at some point. Like, day to day, we're going to forget about it. We won't fundamentally forget about COVID, the pandemic. You know, this is a point in history that will be remembered for hundreds of years, by the way. I don't kind of know if you understand the context that we're in right now. Literally, 100 years from now, people will be reading about the pandemic of 2020. Like we read about the pandemic of 17 was it? After World War One, that's when it got spread around. My nose is itching. I feel like I need to sneeze. But this is about you planning your life after this season ends. You know, Ricky Gervais, when he did The Office, the UK version of The Office, and he did season one, then he did season three, and he talked about season two, and he talked about season three, and he said, oh, the tricky season three, and he doesn't do season threes because they're tricky. Having said that, Afterlife is just on season three. So he lied. But anyway, he was talking about not doing season three because it's the hardest and they're never as good as you think they're going to be, and so on and so forth. And here we are, season three of a pandemic. 3 AD or AC after COVID. And it's like, at some point, this season is going to end, this terrible season three. I mean, January has just been a dreadful year. It's just been a really tough year, right? And I see so many people. We've got friends in hospital. We've got people in ICU. You know, we're having a hard time of it, you know? And I get that. And it's not just me. We're lucky because financially we're a bit more stable and we've got positive mindset and we're in a beautiful environment and we're forward-thinking, positive people. But there are other people going through hell right now. And if you're going through hell, as Winston Churchill said, keep on going. But not just keep on going. Work out, what would you want your life to look like after COVID? Now, we don't know when COVID's going to end. It might be 2022. It might be 2023. It might be 2025. We don't really know. But I want you to have a think about, what do you want your life to look like 3 years from now? 5 years from now, post-COVID. What is it going to look like? Are you going to travel more? And I hope that you are. And then the question becomes, how are you going to afford to travel? So do you need to start allocating £100 a month to travel? And it's a COVID holiday, a post-COVID holiday, holiday of a lifetime. You're going to Bali. You're going to live there for 3 weeks over summer. You're saving up all your vacation days. You're saving up all your holiday days. We watch American YouTube. Can you tell? You're saving up all your holiday time. You're saving up money, you're paying down debt, you're paying off your cars. Like, what do you want life to come out, you know, to look like? You know, in Shawshank Redemption, if you've not seen that film, you need to watch it. And he's climbing through the pipe full of shit and God knows what else. And he comes out at the end and it's lightning and the music comes up and he's rips his shirt off and he's got freedom at last. That's what it feels like. To me, that's what it feels like. We're going through this COVID shit pipe. And at the end of COVID, we have this rebirth, and that, you know, the music comes, and that's really what happened in that film. He's going through this period of rebirth, if you like. That's what's going to happen for us once COVID lifts. We can go clubbing again. We can go dancing again. We can go get absolutely shit-faced and dance like our dads in Benidorm at 2 in the morning at Cafe Benidorm to the Take That tribute act who are all in their 50s now. You can do all that. You can go to your local nightclub. You can go to your pub and get shit-faced. You can do all that. You can blow candles out on birthday cakes. Imagine that. Imagine being able to blow candles out. And it's like little things like that. And you're like, oh, we should be blowing candles out. That's a bit weird, isn't it? I always thought that was weird before. But at some point, we are going to get to the end of this season. And so the question becomes, what are you wanting the new season to look like? Like, this season might last another couple of years, right? We don't know. But you should be planning what you want that to look like. You should be sowing the seeds now. And if you say things like, well, okay, I've got 12 grand of credit card debt, I'd like that paid off, and I'd like to start paying down my mortgage, then brilliant. What do you need to put in place in order to make that happen? Obviously, budgets that we talked about right up here, that's really, really important. Having that budget, having a 12-month or an 18-month budget is really vital in order for you to do that. Because let's face it, you can't do anything without money. And people go, I want to be happy. Awesome. How are you going to do that if you've got a shitty job, you're in credit card debt, you've got car loans, you've got a house loan, you've got store cards? All that stuff's got to go. This is about you having a rebirth through this pandemic. And when you come out of this pandemic, you are a completely different person, a new optimistic person with new hopes and dreams. And this is the thing that you've got to start working on today. Because once this season is over, the last thing I would want is this season to be over, everything gets released again, and everything's back to the way it was, and you're still the same person. I think that is a waste. There was a question I saw on... I'll finish up with this. There was a question that I saw on Facebook or Twitter or social media, let's say. The question was this. I'll ask you it. Would you rather have £1 million in your bank in cash now, or to go back to the age of 10 with all the knowledge and information that you've got right now? And the number of people that put, oh, I'll take the cash, I'll take the cash, I'll take the cash. And I'm like, the sort of person that would take the cash right now is the sort of person that hasn't changed from the age of 10 to whatever age they are now. And I think that's a tremendous waste of time, a tremendous waste of learning and possibility. And I live in a world of possibility, and I would hope that you live in a world of possibility. I believe all things are possible, obviously, within reason. I'm not going to be flying without wings, am I, anytime soon? That's an unreasonable assertion as to something that might happen. But within reason, I think all things are possible. I would love to go back to the age of 10. Obviously, keep the same family. I'm going to meet my wife again. I'm going to have the same kids and all that kind of thing. But like, what would you do if you went back to the age of 10? Well, first of all, we'd be buying Amazon, wouldn't we? We'd be buying Tesla and Bitcoin. We'd buy all the Bitcoin there was. We'd go for some shitty minimum wage job just to earn 100 quid. And then we'd put 100 quid on Bitcoin right at the very start, wouldn't we? I mean, that's like, that's all you have to do. And the fact that people wouldn't know that and they go, oh, no, I'll just take the £1 million, thanks. And I just think that's a tremendous waste of money from age of 10 to wherever you're now, whatever age you are now. And I don't want you... or anybody, or me, more importantly, because it's always about me, right? I don't want to go through this and not have changed in any way, shape or form, or things to be exactly the way that they were when we leave COVID as they were before COVID. I don't want that. I want greater wealth. I want more cash flow. I want more debt paid down. I want more cryptocurrency. I want more holidays. I want better fitness. I want better relationships. I want to travel more. I want to go on more training courses. I want to read more. I want to listen to books more. I want to do more podcasting. I want more, more, more. And I don't think it's wrong to want that. I just think that if you come out of a pandemic and you're the same person as you was going into the pandemic, I think that's a waste of 3 years. And if you've not started that yet, I don't know where we are through this pandemic. Maybe it is 75% of the way through. You've still got another 25%. It's never, ever too late. Look, I hope that's useful for you. Let me just get rid of that. I hope that's useful. I hope you enjoyed today's. If you did, just click like, subscribe and all that stuff. And we'll catch up with you in the next podcast. My name's Dan Latter. We'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.